Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to embolden you with discipline, personal growth, and abundance to live your most authentic life.
To the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And today, guys, we have a guest in house, and it is Mark Miller. He is the executive director of the Lost and Found Grief Center here in town.
Yeah.
Mark, so nice to meet you.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us today.
Ladies, thanks so much for having me here.
You're very welcome.
I'm excited to be on Simply Authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited. So I didn't meet you in person, but I met you in the Biz 417. And they told a nice story about you, and your position at the Lost and Found Grief Center is fairly new to you, anyway. And so I just thought we need to get him in here and learn about the Grief Center, because I think it could possibly be something that our community as a whole doesn't know about, and I thought this would be a good opportunity for you to share.
For sure. I appreciate that. Well, and it's something that really everybody could use, because, you know, Benjamin Franklin said the only two things you can count on in life are death and taxes.
That's right.
But the third thing should have been grief.
Yeah.
Because grief follows death, right? So we're all going to experience grief.
Yeah.
And so the Lost and Found Grief Center, what we do is we provide no-cost therapeutic grief groups to children as young as four, and there's no age limit on the top end, right? So we have spouse loss groups. I sat in on one of those. It was for, I think there was a person there in their 60s, but I think the oldest guy in there was 90, and he lost his wife. So we're all going to experience grief. But those are no-cost groups, and then we do offer individual counseling, and that is fee-based. But a little bit about Lost and Found. It was founded in 2000 by Sean Askenosi, former criminal defense attorney, now Askenosi Chocolate, and Dr. Karen Scott, who was a school counselor. So there's a lot of people in town like, oh, yeah, Dr. Scott was my school counselor. But Sean lost his dad when he was just 14. Dr. Scott counseled grieving children in her role as a school counselor. And so in 1999, really, they said, wouldn't it be great if we had a place for grieving children and their parents? They got their 501c3 in 2000, so we're coming up on 25 years. First groups in the third floor of Sean's law offices were in 2001. They did that for about 5 years. Then they moved to the Connor House in 2005. It's where it's over off Cedarbrook, where there's another not-for-profit there called I Pour Life. But that's where Lost and Found was for about 10 years, 05 to 2015. And since 2015, we've been in our current location at 1555 South Glenstone, just north of Sunshine, right there. The Spinny Heart. One young participant said, it's the Spinny Heart place. So we have the sign with the spinning heart. So that's us. But I think sometimes people think, oh, I make too much money to go to Lost and Found, or I can't afford Lost and Found. It's like there's no means testing to come to group. It's just, you know, it's for anybody.
And I love that. We don't know what we've got in Springfield until we're in need of it, right? So I think there's a lot of people out there probably who might have heard of Lost and Found, but they're not going to seek you out unless they're grieving.
Well, exactly, because I even said that. It's like, oh, a grief center. What a drag. You know, why would I want to go?
Why would I want to work
there? Why would I want to go there, right?
Because
it's heavy work, you know, especially for my therapists, you know. And but it gives people hope. I mean, you know, you never really move on from a loss, but you can move forward, right, with your life. Because really, your loved one who died, they wouldn't want you mired in grief, right? They would want you to move forward with your life, forgetting them, never moving on from them, but moving forward with hope. That's what we like to say, is move forward with hope.
So how many people do you welcome into your facility in a year's time?
Well, right now we're serving around 400 people in our groups. We have about 23 different groups going on right now. And then right now we have about 40 people in individual counseling. We're looking for a new program coordinator. We just had a brand new one today as we're taping, who started today, and we're hiring. We're in the process of hiring another one. But but so everybody who leads one of our groups or does individual counseling is a master's level professional.
Got it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So they have a master's degree in child life psychology, social work, counseling, you know, something like that. So, and all the individual counselors licensed, you know, everything there. So it's not just anybody can come in and do it, but we do have people who are facilitators. I went through facilitator training. Okay. And I equate that to a teacher's aide. Okay. So a facilitator sort of helps that master's level person, keep the conversation going in group.
Sure.
When you have a group of children, maybe you're just helping with behavior. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
So not only we have grief groups during the day for some of those spouse loss and people who might be retired and things like that, but most of our groups run at night.
Okay.
You know, and so that's when we have children come in. So if there's a child, you know, who lost a parent or a sibling, they may come in with their parents or parent, right? Surviving parent, same time. So we have children in group, parents are in group, and then they close out the evening together.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. We've talked to a couple of mental health professionals in the last month or so. We kind of focused on mental health for a month, and they talked about group therapy for all different types of things and how beneficial it can be, especially when it's hard to find these professionals. It's it, just like everywhere else, it's struggling to find employees, right? It's hard to find the therapists, the people who are qualified to do that. So that helps in terms of if everyone doesn't need individual counseling, if they can go to group. So when someone comes to Lost and Found, do you do an initial evaluation to determine what's going to work best for them?
Yes. So if you call our phone number, right, and you're just like, oh, I lost somebody. And if you lost somebody yesterday, we would probably typically say, look, you've got to deal with funerals and you've got to deal with getting their affairs in order. We typically say about a month after the loss, you know, is the best time to actually start. But so if you call, then you get in our call log, and then one of our professionals will call you back and they will do an intake. So that's just kind of just talking to you. Now that can take anywhere from 20 to 45 minutes, you know, sometimes because you want to talk about your person, but we want to find out, you know, who did you lose? How you are coping with the loss, you know, was this a sudden tragic loss that you had no idea it was coming? Was this a prolonged illness that's equally tragic, but you know, it just, but you kind of knew it was coming. And so you've dealt with that in a different way. And then we'll find out the best placement for you, you know? So, you know, you might be in a child loss group, you know, if you lost a child, you might be, there's an adult child loss group. You know, so if you lost an adult age child, there are the spouse loss groups. There are groups for, we have a group for young adults, 18 to 30, who lost either a sibling or a parent, which is far different than if you're 10 years old and you lost a sibling or a parent, so yeah, so they're going to place you in the right group. Now for families, we do an orientation. Like before group, come in, get the kids, this is what it's going to look like. Get the kids oriented, they kind of see what it's like. And everything. Same thing for the parents. If you're an individual adult, you know, we typically just come on in. You know, you don't need to do that orientation. We want to make sure kids feel comfortable before they come in. But I think the biggest benefit when you're talking about group, for there's groups for all different kinds of things, right? It's just that you know I'm not the only one. You know, and we hear that a lot from children where – you know, you'll say, I thought I was the only one who didn't have a mommy or daddy. And then I came to group and I found out there were other kids who didn't have a mommy or a daddy. So, because you could feel really weird, you know, if there's donuts with dad and your dad died.
Right.
And you're like, oh. Now, maybe you get an uncle or you get a family friend or somebody to fill in, but still, it's not your dad, right? But then you know there are, unfortunately, a whole bunch of other kids just like me. And 2 times a month, I get to go see them, and we have this thing we wish we didn't have in common, but we do.
Yeah, and I'm not alone.
Yeah, I'm not alone. Yeah.
Is that the recommended time frame that people visit every 2 weeks so that it's not, is a, every week too much? Yeah. And how long does the average person come to the grief center?
Well, that's a great question. Typically our groups, and we kind of run on a school year for our family groups because
sure.
the summer.
Of course.
And I'll tell you what we do in the summer. But summertime is when you have, especially for children, baseball games, summer camps, travel. We don't run those regular groups. Like the things for adults, for spouse loss and stuff, they run all through the summer because they're just
sure.
no children. You're not on that school year. But we kind of run on the school year. So most of our groups meet twice a month, 6:30 to 8 p.m., right? And those are open-ended. So you may have lost somebody a month ago and you start. Well, there might be somebody in there. They're in 18 months and they're
true.
Still coming to group, right? Mm-hmm. So that's just open-ended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we just started a new model for that 18 to 30-year-old cohort with where you have college students and young professionals and things, where we call it just a closed group model, where it started on a finite day and it's going to end at a finite time. Mm-hmm. And it's every week. And it just seemed for that demographic, kind of the every two weeks or twice a month,
right.
and just kind of having it open-ended, it's just harder. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, you're just busy when you're young like that
yeah.
and mm-hmm. distracted. And
yeah.
if you're in college, you may not be here,
yeah.
you know, that long.
Right.
And so this is kind of an experiment just to see how
sure.
the attendance would go. And then if you want to continue after that 7 or 8 weeks, for another 7 or 8 weeks, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like says this is a beginning and an end. Mm-hmm. And just we're kind of seeing how that works. But yeah, typically – for most of our groups, it's twice a month. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And for how long you want to go, it's for how long you need it.
Yeah.
When the adult or the spouse loss group that I told you about that I attended, there was a woman in there. She was closing out that day. 3 years.
Wow.
This was her she lost two husbands. This was her second
wow.
husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was closing out. And there's a little polished rocks and rough rock ceremony
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
you take a, you know, rough rock and you put it in with the polished rocks and supposed to, it smooths out the rough edges.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's the whole idea behind that. And
gotcha.
So they give her that bag of little stones. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, and they're obviously, we all know, we've mm-hmm. all grieved something, someone. There's really no set time for anybody that would be the same for Angie, that it would be for me, that it would be the same for you, Mark.
Right. No, I mean, there's no set amount of time. I mean, you all were very kind to send me some questions. And one of the things was, you know, what's the really good advice about grief? Well, don't do it alone.
Yeah.
But also it just looks different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it is, how are you coping? How are you coping before your person died?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're getting up every day, you know, you're really just kind of dealing with life really well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not dealing with life really well, and then you have a person die, mm-hmm. well, all those things beforehand are just exacerbated.
Sure.
Right?
Makes sense.
So it's hard no matter what, but it's just sometimes grief can even amplify some of those struggles we may have had before somebody
true.
Died,
yeah.
you know? But I think that's the biggest thing is there's just no set amount of time for
yeah.
anyone, and you kind of have to do it in your own way. But what we hope to give you at Lost and Found Grief Center are the tools, these coping tools
yeah.
for you to, you never want to say deal with it, to get over it.
Right.
Never
mm-hmm.
say get over it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But to incorporate grief into your life and have these coping skills,
yeah.
right? Because it's going to be with you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But is it, you get to a point, hopefully, where when you learn those coping skills, you can talk about your person without breaking down and crying.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, that's not going to be the case.
Right, right.
But you can get to that point. And
yeah.
time takes the edge off a
yeah.
little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
But it's not a guarantee that you'll feel better over time. You really need to go through the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So for those of you listening, you may think that Mark's voice sounds familiar because he was a journalist. He was on the nightly news.
Yeah.
And then was a spokesperson for OTC. And then what, 4 months ago you went to, roughly 4 months ago?
June 3rd, 2024, just since since we're taping this. Yeah. I got to put a date on it. So it's been about 4.5 months.
Okay.
That was when I started at Lost and Found. And yeah, in the early 2000s. So occasionally, just the other day, some guy, hey, you look like the guy who used to be on the news. I said, thank you for noticing.
I look just like
full,
him.
Full head of hair back then. But I said, and I looked at, he had two young guys working with him. I said, those guys were in elementary school, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, back then. So yeah, I was on TV and that was my career. Mm-hmm. And when I had two young boys and I just knew, you know, I love television, great career.
Yeah.
Just nights, weekends, holidays, I just said, there's a lot of people. It just, you get a family and you say, yeah, I want to find something else to do. And I was lucky to get into public relations and marketing. And when I saw this opening kind of last February of 24, I called a former executive director just because I thought, I just wonder, you know, if I could do that. Mm-hmm. And she's very encouraging. And I'd worked with her at Drury. It's Emily Givens. She'd been the executive director. And I said, I'm probably not qualified. She said, what are you kidding? Of course you're qualified. She's very encouraging, very enthusiastic, encouraged me to apply. And I did. And I was just fortunate to, you know, talk to the board and just kind of click with them that my skill set is what they were looking for at the time. And really, what I emphasize there is I think whether you're in real estate, right, whether you're in politics, whether you're in sales, whatever you're in, public relations, it's all storytelling.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's all stories because you're telling a story about a home and you know, what your life could look like there with your family.
That's right.
Or I'm telling you a story about Lost and Found Grief Center and what happens there, you know, and how we try to get people to move forward with hope. So I'm trying to kind of lean into those storytelling skills to advance the institution, you know. And so I do not have a background in therapy. My wife's a psychology instructor at OTC, and she was a therapist. So I've kind of slept next to one.
Yeah.
But it does not make me qualified to offer any kind of psychological advice. Yeah.
Gosh.
That's funny.
Well, Mark, you also have a very personal story and an experience from your own grief that you have shared with the Lost and Found Grief Center.
Yeah.
So will you please tell us about your son, Luke?
Sure. So Luke went to Wilder and Pershing Middle School, and he went to Glendale High School, graduated from there in 2017, which is weird to say because it sounds like a long time ago now, you know? So yeah, graduated from there in 2017 and then went to Western Colorado University where he was a film student. He wanted to become a filmmaker and he was on the cross country and track team. They're a NCAA Division II school, very successful cross country team. They got fourth at nationals his freshman year and he was a true freshman and got to be like in uniform, they call it. You know, you didn't get redshirted where you sit out.
Right.
And then that spring, sort of in spring of 2018, he developed, he had his first seizure. And we'd never had epilepsy. I got a call one Friday afternoon and he said, Dad, I guess I had a seizure in the training room. And we thought, got him to a neurologist, said no brain tumor, no head injury. Said it's not typical, but people do sometimes have one seizure, you know.
Sure.
It's not that uncommon, you know. He came home that summer from college and we realized he was still having seizures, right? And he stayed home that that fall from what would have been his sophomore year and worked at OTC and just trained, lived with us. And I was taking him back to school. And I'm from Denver and we stopped at my parents' house as I was – we drove out, you know, that long drive across Kansas, stopped at my parents' house. He had a seizure in his sleep and suffocated that night. He got flipped over from the seizure. Not something we really had in our minds could happen.
Right.
So, yeah, he died. He was just 20. And so my wife and I were, we call them participants, clients, but we call you a participant.
Okay.
We went to some groups, but we mostly did individual counseling. That was for us at the time. That was right. And went there for about a year, maybe a little longer. Then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And you know how COVID was. It just upset everything.
Yeah.
But it really helped me get to the point where, well, I cared about things, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, you can imagine you lose a child. And I mean, there are a million times a day when you would just say nothing matters. Mm-hmm. You know, but it did. It helped me. Like, I found my son in his bed. And one of the techniques, my therapist, it was Dr. Scott, was mm-hmm. my therapist, yeah. one of the mm-hmm. founders. She had me draw a picture of how I found him, which was, I'm thinking, what are you having me do? Mm-hmm. And then she said, I want you to replace that memory with a good memory of him. Mm-hmm. And it was a memory of him when he was 4 or 5 years old, and it was a Sunday morning, and we had G.I. Joes and action heroes. I mean, we had taken over basically the downstairs, you know? And he just said ecstatically, Daddy, this is fun. So I still have that horrible memory often, you know? Mm-hmm. I can't. Comes back a lot.
Yeah, sure.
But, which doesn't take away that trauma, but the nice thing for me is I associate it with that good memory.
Yeah.
You know? And that's not, that may not be a group technique that somebody goes through, but there are similar techniques where you mm-hmm. try to, so it's just reassociating this mm-hmm. horrible memory with a good memory mm-hmm. of my son.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in that article I may have that you referenced, I talked a lot about, you know, there's a quote, to live is to suffer, to survive is to find meaning in the suffering. Mm-hmm. I looked at the job at Lost and Found as finding meaning in the suffering. Mm-hmm. I'd never run a not-for-profit before. I am learning a lot all mm-hmm. the time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to do with fundraising. You know, we are 100% grants and donations.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely passionate about it because it mm-hmm. helped me. And I know how much people can benefit from, mm-hmm. you know, grief counseling, whether you go to individual counseling or to the group therapy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you still had a son at home, right? You still had another son. And I think, you know, sometimes people get lost in their grief and they forget about the other child or mm-hmm. there's consequences for that other child because of what happened to the other.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and that's when I get, Ethan is my other son.
Mm-hmm.
He was 17 when his brother died. And that's when I get really sad is when I just think about, cause I have, you know, I was, 2019, I was about to turn 51 when mm-hmm. he died. So I've, you know, if I'm lucky, I got 35, 40 more years mm-hmm. to live without him, but Ethan has 70, 80 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's a long time to go without your big brother, you know, but he's learned coping skills, mm-hmm. you know, as mm-hmm. well. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but we're not, unfortunately, we're not uncommon. Right. You know, the statistic we throw out there is 1 in 10 children in Missouri. Nationally, it's 1 in 12, but in Missouri, the statistic is 1 in 10. 1 in 10 children in Missouri will lose a parent or sibling before they turn 18. And when you think about how many people that is, they're not all getting counseling.
No.
Right?
Heaven mm-hmm. so.
So, and right now we probably couldn't take all of them, mm-hmm. you know, sure. who need
yeah,
it,
right.
If, you know, with our current facility and everything.
Yeah.
But there are more people who need grief counseling
mm-hmm.
That aren't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not just you're sad. I mean, you know, you're more likely to drop out of school, you know, mm-hmm. if you have unresolved grief. You're more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. We often talk about the workforce implications. Mm-hmm. You know, I know even though I was getting counseling, I wasn't present.
Sure.
100%.
Yeah. Right.
For a long time, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, on a good day, I was maybe 75% there. Probably mm-hmm. most days I was half in, half out first year.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are workforce implications, but even then you miss work, you, you know, people may quit their jobs. I can't deal with it anymore, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So it is, grief is, you know, I think maybe our parents' generation, you know, was just sort of like pull yourself up by your bootstraps a little bit.
Yeah.
I think for, our generation and younger, it's okay to talk about mental health.
Right.
And you're supposed to be sad when somebody dies. Yes. You know, grief is natural. It's not something to get over.
Right.
You just have to learn how to incorporate it into your life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What is something you could tell our listeners that mm-hmm. as a family unit, and that could mm-hmm. be you, your wife, and your son, mm-hmm. it could be your parents involved in that, yeah. it could be close friends. What is something that you learned mm-hmm. through it that you could share with someone else that is starting today, going to go through the grief that you went through losing a child?
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is to don't try to do it alone.
Yeah.
You know, and because if you, well, one, you're going to feel lonely,
yes,
right? And I don't just mean because you're alone, but because you think I'm the only one going right. through mm-hmm. this. No one could possibly understand. And when you talk to other people or you talk to a therapist, they're like, oh, I've talked to this person. You learn that there are a lot of other people. That's one big thing. Mm-hmm. One thing for me, what I kind of got onto, and it kind of was a turnaround for me, just this idea, I wanted to live a life worthy of my son, mm-hmm. you know? And so that means doing cool things, you know?
Right. Yes.
He was quite the adventurous uh-huh. Kid. Wanted to go whitewater rafting, had a lot of lofty ideas about what he wanted to do in filmmaking, but travel, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So he was cremated. We have his ashes. Mm-hmm. I've spread his ashes. I take little vials, like almost like a 1 ounce little vial, yeah. and I take those to different places. My son went to college in Rhode Island, so we've put Luke in the Atlantic Ocean. Uh-huh. My brother lives in Hawaii. I know. It's rough on him. and we dropped some of his ashes in the Pacific.
Uh-huh.
In fact, we did a thing where we climbed up a mountain. There's almost a 14,000-foot volcano in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
We didn't make it up. We got up to about 11,000. It got really cold. It was June. Oh, yeah. It was 40 degrees up there.
Yeah.
And snow. There was snow up way up high. We got up there. We dropped some of his ashes. And then that afternoon, we went down and put some – I called it the sky to sand, you know.
Uh-huh.
So just those kinds of – rituals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I will tell you one thing. We were lucky because on the night of Luke's visitation, you know, I didn't know this, but we were over at Greenlawn East, you know, over there by Springfield Catholic.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
People were telling us the line to see us and to see our son was wrapped around the building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you realize what kind of, I don't like the term social capital because that almost monetizes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just, there's no way to put to quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like call it social connections. We have mm-hmm. so many social connections mm-hmm. through, you know, my different jobs, my wife's different jobs,
right.
Our son's youth sports.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There were parents there who we hadn't really seen since Luke was in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they came in and saw us. Mm-hmm. The woman who did his hair and was also did my wife's hair, but she goes, we kept those beautiful locks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My son had long blonde hair.
Yeah.
Beautiful hair. Beautiful.
But we have all those social connections. We, even with all that, friends, a meal train, you know, for months we had food coming mm-hmm. 3 days a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has that.
No.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have anybody or very few social connections, you need a place like Lost and Found Grief Center.
Yes.
I mean, I know how we struggled even with all those connections,
right?
Mm-hmm. Really generous time off at OTC.
Yeah.
And even then, colleagues who would kind of help us out, you know, when we were, you know, in weak moments would pick up the slack for us.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody has that.
Right.
So that's what I think. And now obviously we can't fill all those roles, but you would know you're not alone, you know, and you're going through this.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about one of the things they do in the group sessions. Like I told you about the drawing that I did.
Yes.
And I would almost like to participate in this because I haven't done this, but we call it a plate breaking exercise, right? And that sounds, it's not quite as much fun. We're not throwing them against the wall. but you take the plates and you write out all the negative emotions, right, that you might have. Rage, you could write out a phrase, anger, guilt, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Then they take them outside, and they put them, double bag them in plastic so we don't have shrapnel flying all over.
Good idea.
Put on the safety glasses,
and
you literally break the plate. Like you're breaking those negative emotions. Mm-hmm. So it's very symbolic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But those are that's an example. Now that's kind of pretty epic one, you know.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of kind of hands-on, especially for kids, mm-hmm. making a lot of art projects mm-hmm. and things mm-hmm. like that. I told you I'd tell you about what we do in the summer for kids. We try to have we have a grief camp. Now it's not a multi-day thing. It's just a couple of nights, one in June, one in July. But we like to keep the kids who maybe have been coming, but attendance is, you know, won't be good enough to keep the groups regularly coming. So right. have one in June, have one in July for the grief camp. And we leaned into the movie Inside Out 2 for the July one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have anger and you have, mm-hmm. you know, joy and you have mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. Well, we had the kids do a character but called grief. Mm. So each kid would draw their own character called grief
okay.
and talk about,
I love that.
Yeah, who that would be, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So in a way, just kind of that pop culture moment, but also it became yes. very, you know, it's a good way to just incorporate that into yeah. their lives and make them own that
right.
a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Oh, you know, they get to determine who grief's personality and all yeah. that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and kids can't express themselves the way adults do, right? So I would think that they would have to have lots of activities like plate breaking and drawing and art and those yeah. things to help bring out, try to bring that out of them, what they're feeling.
Sure. A lot of play therapy.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot of little playrooms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've covered a ton of things. Is there anything that we didn't ask about that you want to be sure and let our listeners know?
Yes.
Well, one thing I like to tell people is that, you know, there's nothing right to say, you know, when you lose somebody,
yeah.
mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of you. I'm sorry for your loss. Those are all very benign and easily received. There are wrong things to say.
Okay.
Right.
Tell us.
Yeah.
And I probably won't cover them all. But one, and it's from well-meaning people. Nobody's trying to be mean.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
But when you say, well, they're in a better place, mm-hmm. that, I got that, and he was such a nice guy, and I hope I didn't wince when he told me that. But, you know, for my son, the place for him at 20 is here, mm-hmm. making his way,
exactly.
finishing yes. college,
right. yeah.
running with his friends. I mean, yeah, he really loved life, so that mm-hmm. that's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear, well, God won't give you anything, you know, you can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, it's really dismissive.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Just those kinds of statements or even comparison, you know, mm-hmm. like, hey, I lost my parent when I was your age, mm-hmm. you know, to a child. Mm-hmm. I think the worst one, and this is probably pretty antiquated, but you never know. Somebody might say it now. But if you have like a boy maybe who loses his father and he's the oldest and to say, well, you're the man of the house now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, mm-hmm. you know, for that's a 9 or 10, yeah, mm-hmm. the pressure of that, a 9 or 10 mm-hmm. year old kid and yeah. I can't make my mom sad,
yeah.
you know? Yeah. Just those kinds of things. Well-meaning
yes.
maybe.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can imagine a guy saying that to a little boy, right? Yeah. Hey, you're the man of the house now, trying to empower him.
Right.
Right.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the best thing you can do, you know, offer your condolences, but just listen, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. ask about what are your favorite memories,
yeah.
you know, of your person. But I think, one thing you had written to me, what are some things you can do? You know, the meal trains are great.
Yes.
Listening mm-hmm. is great.
Yes.
One thing our friends did, because I was in Denver when my son died. Mm-hmm. My wife's back right. here. My son's back here.
Right.
Of course, I flew home that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I got home that night, you know, and you're just devastated. I mean, but I remember somebody had come and cleaned our house.
Mm-hmm.
Two of our neighbors cleaned our house because wow. I thought, wow, the house is really clean. And I mean, I remember yeah. having that thought. The uh-huh. house is really clean.
Uh-huh.
Some other neighbors of ours, we had a pretty young dog at the time. She's maybe a year, you know, a year or two old. She's mm-hmm. pretty rambunctious hound dog.
Uh-huh.
They just came and got her. They go, we're just going to grab Scout for you guys and let her play with our dog, you know. And it wasn't even something like, what am I going to do with the dog today? It was just taking that off of our
that plate. Burden off yes. of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of takes it off of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we were touched by so much kindness in Springfield, and that we were just blown away. And I will tell you, if you see there's a statue on the Galloway Trail in Springfield, just down from the Southern Hills Pool, that is my son. That is Luke. That is the running man. So if you ever see it and you tag him with the hashtag Live Like Luke on Instagram or something like that, I'll see it. I don't know. You saw my son. Yeah. I really wanted to make sure he got remembered. But the main thing is, if you are suffering, call Lost and Found Grief Center. We are 417-865-9998. Or you just go to lostandfoundozarks.com. Okay. And you can call us. It's free.
Yeah.
And then we'll have somebody call you back, do an intake. You don't have to come. It doesn't obligate you to anything. But come in, get help. I mean, sometimes we've heard people say, when I did the intake call, that helped me.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'm going to hold off for a while.
Yeah.
But that helped me enough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but if you are grieving, oh, and you asked about any kind of limitations. If you lost somebody 10 years ago and you're still struggling with the grief, we may not be the place for you. We kind of talk about pretty acute grief last, but not yesterday, but last 2 to 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but if you're 30, you know, I lost my dad when I was 11. You've probably got some things that you maybe need a different kind of therapy, but last 2 to 3 years, it is. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because we have had some people come in, and I've been with one of my therapists, and she just said, you're working on other things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe just grief isn't the only thing,
right?
You know? Yeah. So maybe you need a different kind of therapy.
Yeah.
But within 2 or 3 years, we'll help you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But ladies, I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I've learned a lot. I really appreciate the tips on what to say and what not to say, because we always want to say something, right? We want to make it better, and we can't really make it better. So just kind of knowing, you know, from someone who's experienced it, what maybe is a good thing to say and what not to say.
Agree.
So
I agree. Great
really
tips.
Appreciate you.
And also just the actions. Mm-hmm. You know, I think often we want to do something.
Yes.
You're suddenly stricken with grief, no matter how close or far you are from that person that has passed. But we don't know what to do. And taking more food, because sometimes the food can pile up, and that's
right.
And now you've got a new problem.
Yeah.
You got to deal with all this food that's come in. And granted, you're going to need some food,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think our minds often go to that because we don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why those meal trains are great. But I will tell you, there are still times, and obviously it's dwindled off a little bit as we're going on 6 years since I lost my son, but somebody will send me a photo of him.
Yeah.
Hey, I found this photo of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those little Easter eggs are priceless.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I teared up in my office when some former neighbors of ours, had actually come by. He was looking for maybe some therapy for his granddaughter, you know. But they sent a check in donation in his memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just those are the kinds of things that, for me, it was just important that he not be forgotten. That's why we built. That's why we built a statue on him. You know, what I mean?
Right. Yes.
But that meant a lot to me. You know, you got to find the thing that means a lot to you and how to remember them. But I hope people who are grieving will seek out that help from us because there is hope. We also say grief is heavy, hope is strong.
So true.
Yeah. Move forward with hope.
Yes.
That's great. Well, Mark, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and bringing us all that information. Of course, we will include the website, phone number, all that information in the show notes. So if you know someone who may be grieving, we'd appreciate it if you share this episode with them.
Yeah, and mention the Lost and Found Grief Center. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate
you. Thank you for having me.
See you next time. Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.